I've been meaning to do this for a while.
Just because all that's going on, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at all. Is the issue of racism in our country, and actually it's become rather rampant. Rather than disappearing, it's actually becoming more prominent. I don't have a lot of things for you to write down, and that's on purpose, because my goal is not to keep you here for a very long time tonight. So I just have the bottom part, but I do have a lot to talk about on these, and I thought it would be better for you to see the word. You can scribble notes to the sides of them or whatever if there's no fill in the blanks, but then I can explain them more. So we have a lot to talk about today. All right, so let's get started here. And again, I think we'll probably have at least three studies, if not more, okay, on this topic. We probably will go to some other issues. We are doing this as like temporary studies or short-term, not temporary studies, short studies over the summer. We'll kick into high gear with our normal Wednesday schedule beginning in September after the September backyard fellowship at our house, okay? Because of different schedules and all that, it'll help us. Plus, it kind of gives us a break. I frankly like to break it up because it kind of keeps us from getting into a rut, okay? So, any more than we do, all right? So someday we're going to sing like five songs on a Sunday or something, right? And preach two sermons and take three out. Never mind. Okay, let's get started. The biblical response to racism, and this is just part one, the first basic truth, which we will get to. Okay, the first question here that all of us should ask when you start is, you have to ask the question, what is racism? And I know it's in your notes, but let's break it down a little bit. And I just looked it up on the internet and pulled down one from the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Two different definitions, per se. One is a full definition, and one's kind of the simple, easy definition. So let's look at the full definition first, all right? Racism is a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits. Whatever race you are a part of, that's the traits you take on. And the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, it's what you are and what you can do, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race, or you could probably add, or races. Okay? People get the idea that because they're of a particular race, they're superior than other races. Okay? So let's break it down a little bit here. The first part says a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits, and I should have underlined, and capacities. Okay? What they're talking about is race is your human characteristics. Okay? Your skin color is primary, probably, of all of those, but also your capacity. Because you have a particular skin color, then you are this type of person. Okay? So that's part of that definition. And then the second part of that, because you are that skin color, whatever that skin color is, this is the definition now. We're going to undermine this definition shortly. We do not agree with this. In total, it's a wrong view of things, okay? But that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. So they say, okay, whatever race you're part of, that determines what you are and who you are. And then also, because of whatever race you are, determines what you are and who you are, some races are better than others. Or, you know, one race is better than others. It really depends on where you're at, what that race is. Really, it depends. Because it isn't just one particular race. Though in the United States, it's probably what you would call white. But it really depends on where you're at, what that race may be. Okay? Now let's look at what the Merriam-Webster calls a simple definition. It's a little more, it's not dumbed down, it's simplified. It leaves out some stuff. But racism, in a more simple level, is poor treatment or violence against people because of their race. Because of their skin color, because of their physical characteristics for the most part. That determines how other people treat them because of the superiority thing. And that's what brought out in the second part of the belief that some races of people are better than others. That's what racism means, maybe in a nutshell. The belief that some races are better than others. So when people talk about racism, that's what we're talking about. We're saying that some people think because of their skin colors, because of their characteristics, maybe their height characteristics in some countries and all, you're better than other people, okay? That's kind of, and then you treat them differently because you think you're better. All right? Now the question is then, the second question is, does racism really exist? This is not a trick question. It does. By that definition, it does. Now, we're going to flesh it out more, but the answer is absolutely yes. Do people think they're better than other people based upon their skin color? Yes, they do. Do they treat other people poorly, thinking they're superior because of the difference in skin color or human traits or characteristics? The answer is yes. And it isn't necessarily one direction either. Okay? What have we had in the news just in the last week? Has there been any racism based upon these definitions? We're going to break it down more that actually the whole concept is foreign to Scripture, but people live off of wrong thinking all the time, and this is one of it. I haven't seen the videos, and I honestly probably won't look at videos, but police officers that have killed people that are of a different race, different skin color or whatever, okay? To me, that's not my job because I don't know what happened before the video. I didn't know the circumstances of the video, and I'm not their judge. That's what the justice system is for, okay? Did somebody do that based upon race? What some people are saying is that's the case. They're picking on us because of race. What else happened? There was at least two instances, by the way, in different places. One was in three now, I think. One was in Minnesota, one was in Texas, and I think now one was in Louisiana. Okay? All right? So hang with me here. Now, what else can be considered racism? Somebody treating another skin color, that's the primary characteristic, different because of their skin color. No. What happened this past week? Yeah, five police officers were shot. 11 were shot. 5 were killed. And the sole motivation was, listen, racism. It was a response, supposedly, to racism. But the goal of this gunner, this murderer that was eventually killed, was to kill white police officers. That is racism also. It's kind of strange, but it's ironic almost that it's racism again, and killing innocent people kind of idea. Okay? So racism exists. Yes, of course it does. To argue that racism doesn't exist is ridiculous. It's obvious, and it's very pronounced in the United States. More so than other places, though not always. There's other measures in other countries. If you go to a Muslim country, it's religious oppression. If you're not a Muslim, you will be abused and persecuted. Okay? So there's other bases. That isn't racism, though. It's built on a, religion instead of a physical characteristic.
Canada, French, if you spoke French, if you were French descended,
did they consider themselves superior, or did other people consider themselves superior? Yeah. They tried to, yeah, in Quebec. So in Canada, it wasn't a skin color, but it was an origination. Did you come from France or did you come from England? And that's a form of racism that's not characteristic by skin primarily, but it's characteristic by an ethnic group and a language. Okay, so racism can take on that too. So yeah, there's this barrier. Quebec speaks French as a primary language. Did you know that in Canada? Everybody else speaks English as a primary language. Okay? But there's this rub, this rift, and it's not a skin color issue. It's a where are you from type of issue. Are you French or are you English? So a good example there that's not related to skin color, but is still absolutely true, right? Okay, so let's get into this. And I have 10 answers here, so I'm not really asking you the question right now because we're going to answer it. But let's look at this. Where did racism come from? Where did it come from and where does it keep coming from? If we could say it that way. Because it's not just past tense, it's continuing. Racism is a continuing issue. Again, in the United States of America, people are getting killed over racism. Okay, so let's just go down these 10. Nothing to write, but you might want to add some notes in here. So I don't have anything to add in here, but you might want to add some stuff here. But the first one is xenophobia. I don't know if I spelled it. It might be X-E-N-A. I don't know. But what's phobia? Fear. You know what xenos means? A pastor is supposed to be a xenos lover. Does that help at all? A stranger lover. Xenophobia is the fear of something different than you. Now, it's overused, it's misused, the term is abused quite a bit, but it's still there. How many here are a little awkward when you're around people that are different than you are? They speak a different language, they look differently, they dress differently, and it may be any one of those, or a combination. The more different they are, the more awkward sometimes we feel, especially if they're talking and we don't understand what they're saying, for example, right? They dress differently or whatever. I think we have somewhat of an inherent fear of people that are different than we are. Okay? They live on the other side of the tracks. They live on the other side of the town. They live on the other side of the state. They're not from around here. And that, you even find a form of racism in the South if you're visiting from the North. Because you're not talking like we do. Not everybody down there talks like that. But you're from the North and therefore you're a different group of people. You're a Yankee, or worse. All right? So they don't like you, you're different than they are, whatever, okay? Having been in the military, you get mixed in with a lot of people that are different than you are. You know, they're from strange foreign places like Illinois. Or, you know, in the Army, the question always was, you always knew what their name was because it showed on your blouse there. So you didn't have to ask their name. You know, the first question you ask is, where are you from? Okay, you always ask that. And then you kind of find out if there's anything in common. That's kind of the way you work it. But xenophobia, people are afraid of people that are different than they are, that look different, walk different, talk different, dress different, all of that. Okay? So that's part of it. I don't know that that's not necessarily natural because we tend to gravitate to what is comfortable and what's familiar to us. Okay? Even When I have grandkids over, they're xenophobic about their grandfather for a while, especially the younger they are. You know, it's a different voice, and there's something growing down here on his chin, and it's not right. And it takes a while for them to get comfortable or familiar, so that you kind of, they fear at times, okay? So just, that's, I think it's a natural tendency to be afraid of things we're not familiar with or comfortable with. So that's xenophobia, so fear of strangers or fear of people that are different than we are is what xenophobia means. How about this one? If the definition of racism means that you think the group that you're in is better than the other or another group or should be, isn't that pride at its core? Right? That I think I'm better than you are. I deserve better treatment. I probably have more brain cells than you do. If all things were equal, I would be up here and you would be down here. That's pride. That's just outright pride. Isn't that what Satan got kicked out of heaven for? Right? That he wanted to, he maybe not be better than God, because it seems like he couldn't fathom anything better than God, but he wanted to be equal with God. So it goes all the way back in that way. Racism comes from our sinful tendency to be prideful, to think that we are better. Isn't that one of the three major sins in 1 John 2? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the what? The pride of life, that we somehow are better than other people. We deserve better than what we're getting. They shouldn't get it. I should get it. Okay, so that whole idea of pride is part of racism. I don't deserve to be treated this way. Or I don't have to put up with this. Okay? All of that is involved in racism. Now this one you'll wonder about, but I'll connect it, I think. But the next one is greed. Why do I say greed? And this goes with number four, so I'll put them in there. Why do you think the South, going back to the Civil War and before the Civil War, even at the birth of our nation, why was slavery so ingrained in our culture? Because it's profitable to have people that work for you that you don't pay. Okay? And I honestly believe greed motivated people to not see what the truth was. It's funny, but the South seemed to be very religious and very Bible-oriented, but at the same time, they oppressed the South more than the North, though there was people that had slaves in the North, but they oppressed people to a fault. Even though they had the Word of God in their hand, they would actually use it as a lever to keep slaves in line. And part of that, I think, is the blindness that greed brings. Does that make sense? You know, I have a particular way to do it, and if I thought a different way, it would ruin me. I have a, you know, cotton plantation or whatever, and it takes all this manpower, and if I had to pay them, I would go out of business. That's a greed motivation. I'm not saying they fully understood it or whatever, and I'm not saying that's the only reason, but that's certainly part of it. Okay, and all of this goes together. They aren't necessarily one over the other. Another one is the slave culture. Now, believe it or not, there's still slaves today. All over the world, there's still slaves. Muslim culture approves of that. Muslims were huge slave traders, by the way, okay? Earlier on, okay, they're the ones that we had to kind of fight and stuff. I don't remember when, but to keep them from bringing slaves after we outlawed any slave trading, you could have slaves born to you after a certain point, but you couldn't purchase slaves anymore. outside of the country, okay? And so we had to enforce that law, and part of it was against Muslim groups that were trying to import them in the United States. Why? For profit, greed, right? But the slave culture, what I mean by this, tying in with number three, that we had been a slave culture, and therefore there's this mentality, sometimes in the South, that's residual from that, to say that they're better. There's a mentality that white people are better than black people. Now, this is in the South. Other places have slaves, and it has nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with just buying and selling people. Okay? Prostitution is a form of slavery. There's different types of slavery, but it's all that you are owned by somebody else, and it isn't necessarily always tied to skin color. In fact, that's not been the norm. It's normally been a defeated culture that becomes slaves of that, and then there's, a form of that prideful racism domineering over other people or whatever. But a slave culture in the United States is, you go down south, and there's still this resistance. Someone first tell me when the Civil War was fought. 1861 to 1865, okay? So you have that. Slavery was an issue at the time the Declaration of Independence was written, even. Okay? There was an issue even then, because some were against it, some were for it. Part of it was greed and all of that kind of stuff. It was built into the culture, especially the agriculture culture. So you have that. But
where was I going with this?
Oh, what happened at the end? It wasn't quite over, but what happened in April of the 1865 that changed everything? President Lincoln was assassinated. Anyone know how that changed? Who won the Civil War? Huh? This is not a trick question. Or don't you know? The North won. North was way bigger and all of that, so it was kind of like an inevitable thing. If the South didn't win right away, then we're going to win, for sure, from a logistics standpoint. But the North won. They were at the tail end of winning. I had two, a great uncle and my great, it's actually great great uncle and my great great grandfather fought from units in Wisconsin. One got killed, my great great uncle, and then my great great grandfather got mustered out in November of 1865. Okay, so it was right at the tail end, and they were just kind of cleaning up. Okay, in April, so it was all over. But what do they say? The singing or whatever. They were just kind of cleaning up odds and ends of the resistance kind of thing. But Lincoln was killed. Lincoln had a completely different perspective of how to treat people than who was his successor after he was assassinated. No. Johnson, yeah. Johnson was a pro-slavery person, okay, which changed it. But they made all kinds of what is a Jim Crow law? Do you know? I suppose it's good that you don't know, because that's a sign of maybe some progress, but it's also bad that you don't know, because they only went away in recent history. In my lifetime. Have you ever heard that down south, if you were, I don't even like the term black, and I'll explain it probably not this week, but if you were black, you couldn't go into certain restaurants. You couldn't drink out of certain water fountains. You had to sit at the back of the bus. You couldn't go to the same church as white people. Have you heard of all of those things? Some people say the North won, but because Johnson took over, they basically lost all of their leverage, and the former slaves, even they participated in state houses of representatives and all that, and then they lost their ability to vote. They lost all of this stuff, and then they had to fight back. It was in the 60s with Martin Luther, 1960s, 100 years later, when they finally started getting stuff. They wouldn't let black kids go to white schools and all that kind of stuff. Okay? So all of that was just relatively recent. We're talking 50 years ago. Or less. Okay? So we have a slave culture that was reinforced for 100 years after the Civil War was fought, primarily over slavery. And even though the North won, the South, because of Johnson, set all of the rules, and it really legalized racism for 100 years in the United States of America. So there was still the idea that we're better than you because we're white and you're not. Therefore, you can't be where I'm at. You can't eat where I'm at. You can't sit where I'm at. And all of that. That's what I'm talking about with the slave culture that has continued. Okay? And part of this is not illegitimate when people feel oppressed by other people. It's real. Okay? And again, it depends on what country you live in and all of that. In the United States, it's primarily been light-skinned versus dark-skinned type of racism. Okay? In Canada, it's English versus French speaking kind of stuff. But it depends on where you're at, what country and all that. But all of that still continues. So there's, when I was in the military, I honestly was not a racist. Okay, I think I could say that in a fairly reasonable way. Now maybe there was still something inside me that thought I was better. I don't know. God knows my heart. But I went to, my training, and then I went to permanent party in Fort Stewart, Georgia, and I had 3 black roommates. There were 2 white guys and 3 black guys. I didn't have a problem with that at all. My best friend in the Army was a black guy. Okay, I had no problem. It wasn't an issue. However, those roommates had an issue because they felt that they saw in their, what I believe is a skewed perspective, anything that you said was filtered through what they're used to with a racist type of environment. And I've given the example before, not in church, but we had a communications platoon, okay? And I was in charge of the radio section, and there was a wire section. We had teletype, whatever that was. That's a long time ago too. But as an illustration of how they would perceive things, to oversimplify, but a white guy would sweep the floor. We had to sweep the floor every day. At the end of the day, a white guy would sweep the floor on Monday. A white guy would sweep the floor on Tuesday. A white guy would sweep the floor on Wednesday. Then we would ask one of the black men to sweep the floor on Thursday. Anything wrong with that in your eyes? Nothing that we could perceive. But they saw that as being racist. Okay? Now, it's not. It was just fair. It's your turn. Okay? It was reasonable. And we didn't... It wasn't... Now, if you made the black guys always sweep the floor and the white guys never did, that would be an issue. But when everyone was just taking their turn, right? Just normally. It's not racist. But because of the way they grew up, because of the surroundings, they were super sensitized to that. I'm not saying it's right to be that way. In fact, I think it's reverse racism. Okay, it's still racism the other way. But they're so used to that. That anything you say, like I never, growing up, my uncles would always call me boy or son. That is a racist, offensive term to a black man in the South. Because you're either calling them a slave, boy, which it doesn't even cross your mind. I don't think I ever called anybody boy. But in a conversation, you might say, listen, son, you don't, you know, and that's like, son means, hey, they're slave trade or slave owners that produce their own children through their slave wives, I guess you'd call them, or whatever. And that's what they're thinking too. And it's a hypersensitivity, but understand, that's how they feel. I even think about this, and I've shared this before, about our deaf brethren. They feel oppressed. I think it's unfounded to some degree, but they have been, in their mind, picked on and treated wrongly in a different type of racism, if you will. They feel that people treat them in an inferior fashion because they can't hear or can't hear well. And so they have that kind of same perspective that you have to be very careful when you talk to them, that you're not talking down to them, that you're not talking in a way. And I had never had that until Sean and I, we sat down with them. It was several years ago now, but I had no idea. I had no idea. Okay? So there's that kind of culture. When you grow up in that kind of culture, you become sensitized to that, especially if you're the one being picked on. The next one here is what I call confusion between visual and physical. Okay? Are you okay, Elizabeth? Okay. It works good if you sit up. Okay? A confusion between visual and physical. Okay? People think that somehow other people are different because they have a different shade of skin color, or their hair is curly, or whatever the case might be. They're tall or skinny or whatever. And they really don't understand that the breakdown of the human body is identical. Right? We're no different on the inside at all. We somehow have measured the skin color or the physical characteristics is somehow being different, and it's really not. It's just another option that God provided. Okay, within all of our DNA. So we think that somehow visually someone is inferior because of how they look, and that's not the case at all. Right? It isn't your skin color that determines how smart you are. You could be white skinned and be very smart, or dumb as a box of rocks. That's pretty dumb, I think. You can be black skin or yellow skin or however you want to define it. I don't like those color ideas at all. I'm not white. This is white, right? I'm not even close. But, you can be the world's most renowned brain surgeon like Dr. Ben Carson. It doesn't matter, right? It isn't your skin color that determines your intellect at all. And somehow we've come to that conclusion at times. Number six, what do I mean by evolution? What does evolution have to do with racism? Micah. Say it louder. Yeah, and probably all, he said that they speculate that the African American or African and people of African ancestry are closer to the apes. Okay? In a broader scale, evolution says that there's different strains that developed, and some are more evolved than others. Racism is inherently evolutionistic. Okay? It assumes by default that some are better than others. That is what evolution is. Survival of the what? Fittest. Which you can define as smartest, best, wisest, all of that. And then you start making value statements to say, well, we're white, we're smarter than you. Or it could be we're black, or we're yellow, or brown, or whatever. We're better than you, depending on where you're at. Or we speak French, or whatever the case might be. But that idea is evolutionistic. Okay? That different groups of people came through different strains of evolutionistic path. That is not true at all either, okay? We reject that. But this is where it comes from. Another one's poor terminology. We're going to talk about that more, but just the way people talk. Like, what is a race, right? We'll talk about that here in a second. We'll wrap this up rather quickly because there's four quick points at the end. So hang with me here. This is really important. But poor terminology. We have to use good terminology. That's why Pastor Kevin gets on you for using the, you know, talking with the idea of going to church, right? Because you believe what the way you talk. And the more you say stuff like that, the more you skew your perspective. You don't go to church, you what? You assemble with the church. Because the church, the word church does not mean building. It means assembly. You gather with the church. Right? And that's just one example of poor terminology. But there's terminology issues with that, even the, with the word race. What does the word race give a connotation of? Even. The idea is different groups of stocks of people or breeds of people, believe it or not, is what the idea is. But doesn't the idea of race give an idea of competition? Right? Evolution assumes there's a competition. That's not a good term. If we're in a race, or I am part of a race, if I'm divided up somehow, then there's some kind of division and therefore a competition, right? At least the way people derive that from, all right? The next one here, a trained viewpoint. If you grow up and are taught that every white man is, quote, a card-carrying member of the KKK, which I got accused of being many times in the military by one of my roommates. Okay? And I could say it even exactly. I could still hear him say it. And I just felt sorry for the guy. It didn't make me mad. I was like, everyone's your friend. Everyone's nice to you. What are you talking about? You know? But that was an excuse that if he disagreed with somebody that was a different skin color, he would just tear into him and say, you're a card-carrying member of the KKK. All right? Again, from his perspective, he was probably brought up to say, don't trust the white man. This is why we're here in the first place. You know, the white man did all this to us. By the way, black men stole and sold black men to white men, right? It wasn't just the white man's business, right? But it's a trained viewpoint. The same thing is true if you're from, like, say, a white... I'm using the term white, and again, I don't like those terms. And we'll get into it more, not this week, but it's a horrible terminology to use terms like black and white. Because no one is black, and no one is white. Okay? It's horrible terminology that just, it divides rather than brings together. But you could be part of a quote-unquote white family, and you don't want to live where black people live. You grow up that way and don't even know why. I was in school when they desegregated. You know what desegregation is? That's when they mix schools together. They bus people all over so that they could mix kids of different ethnic backgrounds, different races, to try and get rid of the racism that was part of the schools, which, by the way, just caused huge problems. Any kid that is new to another school is just that it's asking for a fight kind of thing. You know what I mean? And there was a lot of fighting and stuff. Okay? But then people are trained in that way, wrongly so, by their parents, by their environment, maybe we're talking about here, by their churches. Poor Bible teaching is number 9. For sure, I was taught in some way, because I remember this growing up, and I don't know who, and it doesn't matter, and it's water under the bridge, so to speak. But do you remember that Canaan went into his grandfather, Noah, and saw him naked? And he was cursed. Or maybe it was the son, I don't remember the story. All right, after Genesis 9, somewhere in there. But Canaan was cursed by Noah. Well, some people picked up on that and basically said that's the black race. And they'll always be slaves, they'll always be that, and we shouldn't help them because that's God's curse on them. Well, that's bogus. The descendants of Canaan did not go to Africa. It wasn't them. Okay, but it was just poor teaching that fit into people's mentality and it fit into a slot of what they thought, and it sounded good, so it must be true kind of idea. Okay? So poor teaching in that way, and all that did was reinforce the wrong perspective. Okay? Here's one more, and then we'll give you kind of the key lessons here. But ignorance of Bible truth. The Bible is very clear on this. And racism is certainly evidence of people for sure that are bankrupt when it comes to knowing what the Bible teaches. Okay? Because the Bible is clear and you don't even have to get that far along to find out. And there's all kinds of commands and principles that relate to this too. Okay? So we're just going to look at one key idea in these 4 points here. Okay? So what does the Bible teach about race? Well, let's get started here on number one. The word race is used, anyone want to guess? The word race is used how many times when referring to people groups? Zero is correct. Several of you had zero. It's never used. The word race is never used to describe a group of people. So number two, I said we'd go through these rather quickly. Well, but the word race is used 0 times in referring to people. I thought I'd throw you off if I put blank times, but I didn't. The word race then is not a biblical concept or term at all. We should avoid, we should redefine, we should explain and clarify when it comes to this idea that people use the term race. It's been embraced, it's part of our language, it's part of our culture now, but it is an erroneous term that we should not be using. And I'm not saying you should be jumped on if you use the term race, because it's part of our vocabulary, but I don't like using it. Like when you fill out an application or some kind of form, it says, what race are you? Right? And not one of them gives the idea of Caucasian, black, Hispanic, Indian, American Indian, whatever, things like that. But there's nothing that's biblical at all about that selection. That's a false separation of ideas, as though you can separate people in that way. Okay? The word race then is not a biblical concept or term. So therefore, we should be careful if not to use it at all. Either don't use it at all, or I would seek to use a different term. Okay? Say that people of a different ethnic background or whatever. But that changes it, because a different ethnic background is different than saying race. Okay? And we'll explain more as we go on the next couple weeks here. But here's the key idea here. The Bible teaches us that we are all related. There is no races. There is only race, if you're going to use that term at all. There is only one people group in the Bible. And here it is. This is, the Bible's clear. Like I say, you don't even have to read very far into the Bible. But the Bible says all people descend from Adam and Eve. Okay? Take your notes and flip them over. And let's read a few passages here. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them." Who is them? Adam and Eve. We don't know their names till actually chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Genesis, right? And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then we know Adam's name in Genesis 2. Eve is given a name in Genesis 3. Notice Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? Why does it say it? She's the mother of all living human beings. Adam understood that she would be the mother of really the of every human being on the face of the earth that will ever come forth. It comes from Eve. Okay? Genesis 5, 1 and 2. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. The idea that everyone descends from Adam and Eve. Okay? So we're all, at the very most, cousins. At the very least, cousins. Everyone in this room is related. Did you know that? The issue is not then a one of race. It's a one of how distant are Sean and I? How distant are... I know how distant I am between Josh. I'm his dad. But right, Micah and I, how distant are we apart? It isn't an issue of are we related. The answer, am I related to Micah? The answer is absolutely yes. The question is how distant? How close are we related? Right? Everyone in here, we're related to one another. We're all part of a single family. Let's jump down to Acts 17 now here. The Bible says Paul's talking to, I think those, the Gentiles at the Areopagus in Athens, was it? I don't remember. But anyway, this is Paul talking, and he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. One blood, if you take this textual reading, jump to the bottom of the page. Here's the ESV, and it shows the difference between the two Greek texts. Okay, most of the other literal translations translate it more like the ESV. It says, and he has made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. But whether you believe in one blood or one man, the Greek text, the majority text has the word blood in it. The minority text just doesn't have that word in it. So he has made from one, singular. Okay? So one, and the idea is one man, everyone's descended from Adam. That's where you get your sinfulness, right? Ultimately, but that's the difference. But I showed you, but the idea is we all come from one guy ultimately, and that guy is Adam. Now let's go a little farther. We all descend from Adam and Eve. You got that right here? But we also descend on a much shorter scale, right? Because we're not descended from one of many children of Adam and Eve, right? Right? We're all descended from only one child of Adam and Eve, right? Who's that child? Seth. Because Seth is the ancestor of whom? This, you're going to go like, oh, Noah. Noah had a specific genealogy, right? And I had to put down here Noah and Mrs. Noah because I don't know her name. I think Pastor Jim went to school with her. Just kidding. That's my only Pastor Jim joke of the night so far, so I'm doing pretty good. I bit my tongue a couple times already. But people, all of us descend not just from Adam and Eve, though that is absolutely true, but there was only one line that survived the flood, and that was the line of Noah. So we are all descended from a much narrower scope than, what is it, 10 generations back or more before Noah to Adam and Eve? So we all descended not just from Adam, but we descended from one son of Adam down to one great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson called Noah. So we all descend from Grandpa Noah. And we could say then we're descended from one of his three sons, right? And probably the most variant when it comes to DNA is each son was married, right? It was Noah and his wife, and then their three sons and their wives. So the sons probably had similar DNA because they're the sons, right? But the wives, unless they were all sisters, would have been broader, so the differences probably more came from them, not the Noah, right? The sons of Noah. But we're all descended from Ham, Shem, or Japheth. So we're all descended from Noah. We're that close together. So what does the Bible teach? That we're not from many races. We're from a single race. And the Bible teaches there's only one race. And I still don't like the idea of the word race. There's only one people group, and that's the human people group. But if you have to use the term race, there's only one race, and that is the human race. That is biblical terminology. By the way, flip your sheet over. Look at Genesis 9. This is the passage. I put them in biblical order so they're easy to find. Genesis 9, verses 18 and 19. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. Later on, that's when he sinned, right? And these three were the sons of Noah. And from these, the whole earth was populated. We're all Noahites. One human race. One race, the human race. Oh, I didn't bring it out. The human race. That changes everything. If you understand, and I honestly believe that if some of the slaveholders in the South would have understood this, they would have freed their slaves. They misunderstood it. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Some were just greedy. Some of them just misunderstood. They were taught wrongly or whatever. Okay? And by the way, evolution didn't really have a foothold till a little later. So it wasn't really that. But there was this idea that there were superior races, superior groups of people. And it wasn't the case. And there's more to come. But I think the first principle is that there's only one race. There's not multiple races. There's only one race, and that's the human race. We're all related, if another way to say that. So we're all from the same pool. Not from different pools, a superior and inferior. No, we're all connected. The issue is how connected are we? We did Jane and I have done DNA tests with the Ancestry DNA. Anyone else done that here? Jim? Are you half clown then or what? Oh, one of your relatives then? I have done it. I had my wife do it. My dad did it. I had my mom's brother do it because it was after my mom passed away. And Jane's parents have done it. But it's just amazing that you can see the connection again. And there's so many, I don't even remember what it's called, that if you're a sibling, you have, 50% common DNA. And if you're a first cousin, you have, I think it breaks it. I don't know if it's in half or even more so. It might be a fourth of that or something like that. But you can see how related they are. But we're all related through Noah. At the very farthest point, we're related to Grandpa Noah through one of his three sons. And there's probably a good chance that they're all mixed together, right? They didn't stay separate. You didn't ask Dory if she was a descendant of Japheth, did you, before you married her? Yeah. people are mixed because they're all part of the human race. And that changes everything. This interracial marriage. What is interracial marriage? There's no such thing, right? If there's only one race, the human race, there's just all kinds of ramifications to that. So we'll get into those as we go forward. But anyway, questions or comments? now that it's almost cool enough, except for Dory, she's shivering probably now. Questions or comments with regard to this, what we've introduced so far? It's not new, because we've talked about this before, but does this help to kind of think about this and talk about this some? It should, especially in our day. You'll need this more, I think, rather than less for a while. So remember that. We're all related. There's not multiple races. We're all the same race. Yes, that kind of jogged my mind a little bit, but one of the things that we do that's bad training in churches at times. What skin color did Adam and Eve have in the curriculum that you had growing up? Any idea what skin color Jesus had? It was probably more of an olive color, not a white color. He was not Anglo-Saxon. He was Jewish. He had lighter skin than some, but it was darker than mine.
It's interesting in history, prior to the Renaissance, all kinds of Bible stories were written or painted in that era.
European, yeah, white, yeah. Right. But I mean, even too, what skin color did Noah and his wife and three sons have on your curriculum if he had pictures of them? All white skin, right? That's impossible. Adam and Eve would not have been white. They probably would have been any combination of skin color, but it would not have been a pure white, you know, light color because of the combination. Through them, they probably had children that were all different shades. And their grandchildren would be that. Even probably in ways that we don't have now because we've lost, you know, you lost all of the DNA of all of the kids of Adam and Eve. Remember, Adam had sons and daughters, right? And then he died. He lived to be over 900 years old. He had sons and daughters. All of that DNA that potentially Adam and Eve had, a lot of that was lost. All you had is what Noah and his wife and the sons and their wives had. Everything else was lost. That's why you probably had different shapes of human beings. And I mean, you know, like whether it's skull shapes or heights or hand length or whatever, there was probably a lot more diversity before the flood. And that's why they uncover somebody and it's like, oh, this is an ancient person that was part of evolution or whatever. And it's like, no, they were probably just a strain that didn't get passed on through Noah, right? They're just different. There was a lot of different groups of people probably than we have now. Okay, they're just the different characteristics. They're very limited from Noah and his wife and his three sons and those three wives. So, they too, but we've taught people wrongly by even the curriculum that we've used for years and years and years. You know, oh man, he's blonde hair, blue eyed. I had no idea. And he wasn't, right? So the potential was there for that, for all the different skin colors, but most likely they were shades of brown, okay? Different shades of brown. So think of what people would do, especially those with the have a wrong mentality toward race or whatever, if they saw Eve in very dark skin or Adam in very dark skin, right? What would that do? It shouldn't do anything if you understand the scripture, right? Okay, so. Anyway, let's pray and then we'll pick up on this next week, okay? Lord, thank you so very much for your word. Lord, we only get in trouble if we ignore your word. And the more we ignore your word or fail to rightly divide your word, the more we create havoc and chaos in our own culture, in our own churches, our own families. Help us, Lord, to study your word to the best of our ability. And then, Lord, to be able to act on that so that we are not fearful of others that are different than we are. Lord, and we know that all mankind is descended from Adam and, yes, descended from Noah. Lord, we're a common family. Help us to treat other people just as we are and we want to be treated, because we are the same. We are of the same value that they are. We are of the same family. There's no one better or worse, because we're all part of the same family. And Lord, help us as we continue to study this to get better in our conduct, in our thinking, to more biblical, so we can answer people and help people to understand that no, we do not harbor any sentiment against them because of their skin tone or skin color, Lord, because we feel that we are family, as the Bible teaches. And we pray that you would just help us to love people in that way through the truth, rather than to embrace things that the world teaches that are not true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.